Welcome to Digital Outbox Snow Leopard Special. Well, this week we thought we'd do something slightly different, and instead of fitting in Snow Leopard to one of our normal podcasts, we'd do a special. Joining me tonight is Shaquille. Hi, Shaq.
Hola.
Hola. And not joining us is Chris, because he's so much of a Windows fanboy, he decided to sit it out. So, hello, Chris. So, we've both got Snow Leopard. We've had it on for a couple of days. You installed it, what, 2 days ago, yeah?
I installed it, yes, on Tuesday when I received it, yep.
And how was it for you? Painless?
No, yeah, painless, absolutely perfect. Just put it in a couple of clicks maybe just to hit the next button and that was it.
So you what did you do? Did you do like did you just install over the top? Just mm-hmm. an upgrade? Yeah, I did the same.
Yeah, I started on the iMac first, just put the disk in. I started reading about some of the articles, like, you know, the best way of doing it, and then I thought, bugger it, you know, it's gonna be alright. So I just stuck it in, started off, and I think it took it said it was going to take like an hour and 10 minutes, but it actually took less than an hour.
Yeah, I'm sure mine's took over an hour, but I've got an old ancient Mac compared to you.
Mm.
In need of upgrading, I think.
Upgradings and downgradings.
Well, the only thing I remember is actually when I was listening to Mac Bikes podcast, mm-hmm. when I put my...
Nice plug there.
When I put the Snow Leopard on my Mac, I actually got not an error, but it was looking for a file on boot up. SystemEvents.app, which I had never heard of.
Is this before it started doing the actual upgrade?
No, once it was done. So after like the first boot, and it was like, yeah, welcome to Snow Leopard, and it popped up a little can't find file, and straight away I was like, oh, bugger, you know, this hasn't worked. And it couldn't find it itself, but the file was located in System Library Core Services. I pointed to the file, mm-hmm. Rebooted, and it was fine. Never had any problems since. So
was that on the MacBook or the iMac?
The iMac.
Right, and you didn't get it on the MacBook then?
No, MacBook was fine.
Mm.
So the only thing I'm kind of thinking now is I might actually wipe the MacBook and just go for a brand new fresh install just to see if there's any differences between the upgrade and a fresh install. You know, just performance-wise, but...
Yeah.
Because I still... Most of my media and stuff's on iMac, so... I don't think it would take too long to get back up and running.
Mm. Did you get any... Well, I suppose you did. How much disk space did you free up?
Well, because I was reading beforehand, we were talking about there was like, what, six... You know, average user gets 6 gig, and I was really surprised to find it was like 15 to 20 gig. And if not more on the actual MacBook Pro.
Mm.
It seemed to be slightly higher. I guess you were the same, yeah?
Well, because I did my iMac first, I was a bit excited, so I was taking notes.
Were you super excited?
Super excited. And when I checked the Finder window, it said I have something like 180 gig or 181 gig free. After the install, it said I had 214 gig free, so that's about 34 gig free.
Mm.
But unfortunately, I didn't check my iMacBook to see how much I got in that.
So I guess there's two reasons. I don't know if you dug into why it is so much higher. So one is that they're putting the actual install is a lot lower on the actual drive. If you look at what a Leopard install was compared to Snow Leopard, you know, there's less files. So I think there's less printer files. I've compressed a lot of the files.
Yeah.
There's no support for PowerPC. So previously they had a lot of PowerPC files in there as well.
Okay.
But one of the things they've also done is they've changed how they report disk sizes. So if you've bought like a 250 gig drive and you'd plug it in, it would come back at what, 230 gig or something like that. What they're doing now is they're actually, and that was because it was reporting in base 2, they've swapped to base 10. So a 250 gig drive will actually report as a 250 gig drive. So that's why there's slightly more increase.
You big geek.
It's important to know and understand these things.
I remember that next time you slagged me off about going into details.
Yeah, but yours is a bit more kind of science bit type. Mine's is just all about facts.
Mm.
So, I don't know how you felt when I had it installed and I felt pretty underwhelmed. It was like, this is just the same.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of kind of went in with no high expectations because just from reading other people's reports. So all I expected was a bit of a performance boost, which I did notice. I think an interesting experiment should have been that if I hadn't updated my MacBook and I'd used that for a couple of days and then used the iMac for a couple of days with Snow Leopard. Because, you know, you get so used to an instant speed increase that you forget how slow, you know, the old machine was. And now it's hard to sort of go back.
I mean, one thing that was quite interesting, and I wish I'd actually been a bit more careful as well, because I just slapped it on both machines. And I should have been maybe thinking about, we've got a podcast, we could have done a comparison and a video comparison. But Gizmodo have done one, so they've got some Snow Leopard benchmarks.
Yeah.
And I guess what it shows is, on the apps that have been rewritten for 64-bit, you're getting quite a marked difference. So in preview, opening up some large JPEGs, Finder accessing some large JPEGs, you are seeing, you know, half the time taken and things like that. And it's quite noticeable even when they've got a couple of videos side by side of machines booting and doing things and then shutting down. You know, there is a noticeable difference. But I think one of the misleading things I've found is that most apps, or sorry, the non-Apple apps, there's no difference because they're just written basically for Leopard or for 32-bit.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously found Finder a little bit quicker to even just to boot up and just to move around and stuff.
Definitely, I thought Finder's excellent. I mean, I've been using Pathfinder instead of Finder, but I found it pretty unstable under Snow Leopard, and they keep on finding bugs and they've been patching them and fixing them. But I've, to be honest, just been using Finder. A big difference I've found in speed.
The other thing I think with stacks, I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
They open up just so much more smoothly and, you know, they collapse smoothly. As it was before, I remember there was like a noticeable sort of jitter.
Well, you clicked on it and it was almost like, right, I'm going to start animating.
Okay, yeah, and then
now I'm animating. And it wasn't as slow as that, but it still didn't feel smooth.
Yeah.
I guess the most obvious thing really is the expose and the dock.
Yeah.
You know, so expose has been made a lot clearer. You know, if you now go to expose view, you can...
It's nice.
You know, it's a lot more clearer, and you can... I don't know if you've tried this, but if you press spacebar...
While in expose.
Yeah. So if you expose on your Mac right now and then press space, as you move your mouse or you move a cursor over, it zooms in on each window. So if you've got, you know, 20, 30 windows open and you've pressed space and you move over the top of it, it zooms through each one. Just makes it, it's really small, but just makes it a lot more usable.
One other thing I found quite nice, and I don't know if it'll be the same for other people, in the stacks, if you open up like a document stack and you open up a folder within the stack,
you can...
It keeps the folder view in the stack, and then you can move backward and forward.
Well, I think that's quite useful. Stacks used to hack me off because you used to go in and you're like, well, I can. It's just one level deep, and that was it. And at least now you can navigate through.
Yeah, I think one thing I don't know if they've done it, but I don't think they have. When I checked, what I like to do is create my own stack with a specific number of either documents or applications.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a way around it because before Snow Leopard, I found articles where you can like cheat, you know, but it didn't work the way I wanted it. It was almost like you had to like create a folder in your Finder of shortcuts and then drag that folder into your stacks to create a new stack. I thought I don't want that. I want, you know, the actual applications in there.
Yeah.
Because I've got like Photoshop, Illustrator, Fireworks and all that. It'd be nice if I could create like an Adobe stack just for the Adobe apps and they can just sit there.
Mm.
And then I can remove them from my dock, you know, because that will then shrink it significantly.
Yeah.
That'd be quite nice. But they can't do that.
One thing I did try, which I thought it was supposed to work, and was you could drag a file, go to Expose, drag that file into whatever window you want, and it would just copy and paste in text, but I can't get that to work at all.
Right.
So you're supposed to be able to, like, you know, if you had like a few, you know, text editor windows, be able to just drag some text and drag it in. And it's been fairly unreliable for me. And again, I don't know if it's because I think it was TextMate I was using. So I don't know if there's an issue when using maybe some third-party software. But I think they were probably two of the most... Oh, the other Expose thing with the dock is if you now click and hold, So if you've got like lots of Safari windows, you click and hold and you get an exposure view of just that, which is handy for Finder, because Finder, that's you end right, up with yeah. lots of Finder windows.
Mm.
And I don't, I just feel they've added these in just to answer Windows 7, you know, and just probably just refine Exposure.
I just got that Exposure thing with the Zoom to work. When you told me earlier I couldn't get it to work, and I was thinking, what's going on? Yeah, that's actually really nice. Makes it a lot easier.
And I think the fine, what I quite like is you don't need to hold space down. You just, you can press it and it's like almost like a toggle. So it's like press it and then you can zoom around. So if you're just using your laptop keyboard, you know, it's dead easy to flip to that view, space, zoom around, pick, go.
Yeah.
I guess the other noticeable thing from an application, it was probably the last one, was QuickTime.
QuickTime, yeah, definitely.
And I mean, certainly the I think the interface to QuickTime now is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I mean, I think I tweeted up that I just watched 1080p Avatar using QuickTime X, and it was just, I just thought it looked great.
Yeah, and obviously they've added audio and video recording facility and stuff. Yeah, before, so it was just in the Pro version, wasn't it?
Yeah, so you can do, and I guess it's fairly simple, but you can do like a kind of screen capture now, and then you can do an audio capture as well, without any other tools. I guess only, and
you can also trim it within QuickTime.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The trimming is exactly the same as the iPhones, so it's an exactly the same control, as soon as I saw it, I just thought tablet, just because you can just, you know, you can just imagine just dragging both ends.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that's all it lets you do.
Mm-hmm. I suppose they want to keep like any advanced features for like the proper sort of video products.
Yeah, or,
like,
but they used to offer QuickTime Pro. Mm-hmm. And on the install, if you do a custom install of Snow Leopard, it lets you put in QuickTime Pro 7, because of actually a lot of the Pro features have now been lost from QuickTime X or QuickTime 10, right, I guess it is. So yeah, that's, I guess, nicer from a playback point of view, but maybe missing some features.
Yeah. I think another nice feature is if you do record a clip, you can share it online.
Yeah.
To, like, Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, quite easily as well.
Nice.
I think they've made it, it's a bit like the iPhoto and iMovie stuff. You know, once you've done your editing, you can just, you know, it's dead easy just to share that online now.
Okay, I think another thing they were saying, this enhanced iChat, but we just tried it earlier on, didn't we, and couldn't really see anything.
Yeah, and I don't know whether that's because we're online, and you know, I don't know if it was on a LAN, maybe you'd notice a difference, but I don't notice anything different from the last one.
No.
Now, maybe it's enhanced and it's using less bandwidth, you know, and it's something I just don't bother measuring, but you know, maybe there's a codec improvement, but quality-wise just looked as good. In fact, I'm still convinced, when we were back on Skype just now, I'm still convinced Skype video, even though it means I've got to look at your ugly mug, but I still think Skype video is better.
Yet you keep coming back for more.
I have had, I definitely found Finder's speed improved, Spotlight, I think the speed's improved. Mail has been faster, but it's been actually unreliable for me on both laptop and desktop.
Mm-hmm.
After a day and a half, it'll just stop working. So it'll just stop actually picking up mail from my accounts.
All right.
And the only reason I know is that the iPhone will ping that I've got a new mail.
Right.
And then I realise if I check on mail, it's not there. So if you do a get mail, it's not there. Even if you look at the accounts individually and do a get mail, it's not there. Shut down mail and start it up again, connects and gets a mail. So I don't know what's wrong with that. I'm tempted to actually delete all the accounts and just recreate them again and see if that helps.
Okay. I must say I've not had any problem as such. Couple of other things that I've been reading about, but I haven't really looked into them myself. The icons in Finder, you can now magnify them.
Yeah,
up you can to like 512 pixels.
You can make them massive and unusable. I mean, they do look lovely.
Yeah. I suppose maybe with people with sort of difficulty in seeing things, maybe it might be useful for them. But that's me.
Your eyes have been lasered.
Yeah, but I'm not happy with it.
What?
I don't have the eagle eyes that I wanted.
Action Man. Anything else that I want to bring up? Well, there's a couple of little things that made me think they were maybe targeting either like Macs as media devices or maybe tablets.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's quite interesting, I don't think I stuck it in our show notes, but if you plug a Snow Leopard Mac into your HDTV now, instead of giving you the actual resolutions, it just pops up with a 720p or a 1080p, so you can just pick that as your resolution.
That's interesting.
So just a lot more user-friendly rather than trying to say, here's an actual number of pixels and what can your telly display.
Yeah.
Another one was Wake on Demand. So previously you could do like Wake on Demand over LAN, but there's also now, if you've got one of the 2009 Macs and you've got an AirPort Extreme or a Time Capsule, you can now do a Wake on Demand with Wi-Fi. So your machine can basically be sleeping and you can make a Wi-Fi request and it should wake up.
Oh, wow, this is really nice. I've just tried something. In Finder, if you open up a folder with like lots of documents with PDFs and stuff.
Right, okay.
And you select your viewing format, so you know that first icon with the grid thing, show items as icons in a list.
Yep.
And you zoom right in using that little magnifier at the bottom of the Finder window.
Yep, hold on, I'm just doing it. So into here and... Oh, I know what this is. This is
actually...
And then
click on a PDF with multiple pages.
You can browse
from within Finder. That's superb. Yep.
And it's the same... Well, if you like that, go to a folder which has got movies in it.
Oh, I don't know if that's safe.
Oh, dear.
Let's find something. Yeah.
And again, make sure you've got the icon view selected. Zoom up,
yep.
And then as you hover over it, you get a little play button and you can play it in Finder.
Oh, yeah. That's really good.
So you can have massive icons and be able to play your movies. So, yeah. I mean, they've done
some
really nice
things. Not really smooth as the playback, but it works.
And I don't know, I've got to be honest, I don't know how usable that is.
I guess it'll be all right for like little clips just to quickly run through in front of your family or something like that. But
I ain't convinced.
No.
I ain't convinced. So yeah, those couple of things. Oh, and there's one more. There's a way of actually enabling a soft keyboard now. So
okay.
you can go into your preferences and keyboards, and then you'll get a toolbar icon, which you can then turn on a soft keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking with that, plus the other things, are they actually targeting a tablet? Which I know just ties in with all the rumours and it gets everybody excited, but most folk are still thinking that it's going to be some sort of iPhone operating system on a tablet rather than macOS, but... Don't know. Just seems a bit of a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of a coincidence.
One other thing that's a little bit quicker, but you know, you could argue maybe it's not, is the dashboard. Whereas before, when I brought the dashboard up, again, it was like the stacks, there was a bit of stutter as it zoomed up. And now it's silky smooth.
I disable it now. I just wasn't using any features on it.
Mm-hmm.
I just turned it off. One app that I guess gets overlooked is Preview. So Preview and I know they made a big thing about this at the actual Snow Leopard launch, that you can select text easier in multiple columns.
Yeah, right.
But you can actually, you can actually get content out of files a lot easier, and also in PDFs. I mean, in Preview, what was really nice is you could actually split PDFs up and take pages out and edit them. But you can now also add comments in. So if I've got a PDF I want to comment on, I can just do that straight within Preview. So it's actually becoming a lot more useful instead of, I think most people just see it as a viewing tool and that's about it. But, from a resizing of images and stuff, I find it really useful.
So if I open up like a PDF in Preview, I should be able to copy text.
You should be able to add comments in, but you should be able to like just swipe and copy text, and you should also be able to cut out pages as well. So if you wanted to, I don't know, take a few title pages off or cut it down and just send me two pages. You should be able to trim that down. I've certainly done it before. And I guess the other features that are left are pretty small. Mm-hmm. I mean, one that got a lot of press, but I don't think actually means very much, is there's now a malware scanning tool. So I think they've made a lot of... Apple have always hyped up that there's no viruses on Macs, and certainly the Mac versus PC adverts have always, you know, played to that kind of strength. But in Snow Leopard, there is now a malware scanning tool, but it only detects two actual malwares. You know, so it's not like a PC one where you're detecting thousands.
So one of them will be a Palm Pre device, and the other one will be a Zune.
Get out. interestingly, and it was from another podcast I was listening to, somebody was wondering if that's why the latest Mac versus PC adverts, they actually don't say now that there's no viruses. They've actually emphasised that there's thousands of viruses on a PC. So inferring that there is viruses on a Mac, but they're few and far between. Something that a lot of people talk about, and I've got to be honest, I never really use services menu.
No.
So previously, any time I would accidentally select a services menu, all I would see is loads of like Chinese text conversions, and I'd be like, what the hell? But they've now made it application specific. So if you go in there now, most apps probably won't have any services available. But I think over time, you're going to see a lot of people now starting to write scripts that you can take advantage of via the services menu. Certainly developers seem to see this as a real boon. And Automator is something I've not even really looked at, and I want to.
I know, I tried playing with it once, and I just thought I'm going to have to spend a lot of time, you know, trying to figure it out, and I just thought, forget it.
Yeah. So Automator now, you can actually just turn straight into a service as well. So there's things like you can do. I mean, there was a demo video I saw, which I'm sure it was Pages, and using the Unix sort command as an automator, they turned it into a service, selected the text, sorted alphabetically. And it just looked trivial, you know, to do. So I think there's a lot of power in there for the future.
Yeah.
And they've also added in a text replacer, which is system-wide. So if you type in, you know, like T-E-H instead of the, it'll sort that and swap it. And I know there's apps to do that. Like Text Expander would do that.
Yeah.
But this is now system-wide, except third-party apps now need to be written to take advantage of it. So you're only going to find it in the Apple apps at the moment.
Yeah.
But again, handy little feature to have. And I think I'm kind of done feature-wise. You know, that's mostly it.
Well, there's something I just noticed in the show notes that I think you must have added about the Lightroom and under Snow Leopard.
Oh yeah, there's lots of little tweaks and stuff to watch out for. So and this was from Dan Benjamin's one of the kind of does a lot of podcasting and blogging and Twittering, and he tweeted up today that you know, you'll notice a big difference in Lightroom. Just check, so get info on the Lightroom application and make sure 32-bit is unchecked. So I did a bit of a test, and it was pretty impressive speed difference. So I think my overall summation is it's like it's an upgrade, but fairly small from a user's perspective. You're not going to notice anything greatly different in there. And I think it'll be a few months before we actually see the third-party apps starting to take advantage of it all.
Yeah.
And also, I guess if you're using your Mac for actual production work, whether it be media or graphics or programming, I would say hang fire. I don't think there's anything here that you need to upgrade today for.
No, I mean, it's definitely not an essential upgrade, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a couple of people I know who have upgraded, and you read their Facebook comments and tweets, they seem to be having issues.
Yeah, I mean, I've not had issues with the operating system. I've had issues with third-party apps not working. You know, so I mean, I stuck it on a wee while ago, and we had issues trying to get some of the podcasts produced, and that was my own fault. You know, I was a bit gung-ho, I threw it on, and the apps weren't ready.
Yeah.
You know, and the apps have now been updated, so that's it been out officially a week. I mean, over the weekend, a whole lot of apps came out. And even today, I mean, iStat menus came out, which is just joy of joys, because I really like iStat menus.
Yeah. I mean, I was messing about yesterday with the PS3, and, you know, both of us use that Media Link.
Yeah.
And when you launch that, it launches System Preferences, and then when System Preferences opens, it closes down again with a message saying, I'm going to reopen in 32-bit mode.
Yeah.
Because the app is 32-bit. So I'm assuming, you know, like over time, as things get updated, you have less and less issues.
Yeah.
But certainly, I mean, personally, I've not had any issues at all. All my apps seem to work fine.
Yeah. And but I guess my only little niggle is I think that things like that are going to cause confusion for a lot of people. The whole thing that Apple sells on, it's dead easy to use. You don't need to worry about things.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've updated to Snow Leopard, and if you fire up like Activity Monitor, you'll see all the Apple apps are running in 64-bit.
Yeah.
Everything else is running in 32-bit. What does that mean? You know, average user's not going to know about this.
Yeah.
You know, firing up an app and it says, I'm now going to have to restart this in 32-bit. Is that good or bad? You know, I've got no clue. Got to be honest. I don't even, I had to actually go and read to understand whether Snow Leopard was booting in 32-bit or 64-bit. And it turns out it's booting in 32-bit because they're not enforcing 6. So you can, although it's booting the kernel in 32-bit, you can still run 64-bit apps. And they've rewritten all their apps to be running in 64-bit. And if you really want to boot in 64-bit, you can. So at the boot prompt, or as it's booting, you hold down the 6 and the 4 key, and it should force the kernel to start up in 64-bit.
Sorry, which keys did you say?
6 and 4. So, but from what I've read, it can cause stability issues because there's so many apps out there that are kind of 32-bit and relying on that just now. Which makes me think, because Leopard could run apps in 64-bit, but none of the Apple's ones were. Is this another stepping stone to eventually just being it's a pure 64-bit system?
Yeah. I mean, it's. I know there are issues at the moment with certain apps, but I think it's quite good that where it handles it without too much user intervention, like the Media Link thing.
Mm.
It says I'm going to reboot in 32-bit, so you might not understand what it's doing, but at least you know that it's still working the way it should do. And there are going to be some apps which might not work, and you know that's a pity, but I think overall it's a nice little upgrade for the price that they're charging. 25 quid is good. And I think another interesting bit which I discussed with you yesterday or the day before, if you have Tiger how do you upgrade to Snow Leopard? Do you have to install Leopard first and then Snow Leopard? And obviously Apple are selling this pack, so if you want to upgrade to Snow Leopard from Tiger, you have to buy this multi-pack which comes with iLife, I think, and so what, around about 125 quid maybe?
I think it's 160.
Really?
Maybe 120, I don't know.
Yeah, and you think, well, all you get in the pack is iLife and Snow Leopard. There's no standard Leopard, so what is the point of making people buy that? And I think I asked you, and you sort of confirmed that if you have Tiger, you can just put the Snow Leopard disc in and upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, we'll put a link in. I guess there's a lot of stuff we've talked about tonight that I'll link to in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
But they've kind of, the unofficial Apple weblog did a post today which tried to clarify the license things, because I know it was quite, I mean, I was quite confused because I was like, I'm buying an upgrade disc. Does that mean if my system got wiped and I had to start again, then I need to put Leopard on first and then put the Snow Leopard disc in to do the upgrade?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, basically the license is saying, yes, you should only buy this if you've already got Leopard, but there's trust.
Yeah.
And that's what's been exposed if you look through all the different terms and conditions against the upgrade, and then if you look at the full pack. And it's the same way that when you buy it, you don't get a license key.
Yeah.
So there's trust in that if you've got more than, you know, if you're wanting to put it on, you know, more than one Mac, you should be going to be buying the family pack. You know, and I guess it's that trust thing again.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine Apple losing too much money over this anyway, because people who use their products like their products, and more than likely over, you know, 90-95% of people with Macs have upgraded to Leopard anyway, so they'll be upgrading to Snow Leopard.
Yeah.
Maybe not immediately, but soon. There'll be very few Tiger users out there.
I mean, I think in some ways it's a no-brainer, because Leopard came out, and I think it was £70 or £80? You know, and I had no qualms about popping into the Apple Store and paying that. But I mean, I know there's a couple of people who are actually, you know, I'll just go and get the torrent or get it from newsgroups. But I mean, £25, is it really, you know, is it really that high a price for an operating system?
Exactly, it's peanuts.
Yeah, and it's, I guess what I'm hoping for is that, I mean, I can't say I'm wowed by it. It's more of the same. And touch a little bit of wood, it's been, for me, I've not had issues apart from the third party apps that I've maybe been let down with.
Mm-hmm.
Which I still think is a bit strange because, you know, the developer release did come out a couple of weeks before, so there was time to work on it. But yeah. I think a lot of developers waited to the actual official release to then start, here's the updated applications. But even things like, I mean, Super Duper took months once Leopard came out before you could actually do a backup. But I mean, that got updated twice over the weekend. And I did my first backup the other day and it worked fine. So it's all good.
Rock and roll.
Indeed.
Have you looked at the new wallpapers that come with it?
Oh, they were rank.
They're nasty.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I had a quick spin through them and it was just
I was trying to find like new features, you know, something that stands out. And I thought, oh yeah, I remember reading about wallpapers, and I looked at it and there's nothing that excites me. I was more annoyed with the screensaver. I mean, we've had to put up with Flurry for so long now, and it's a nice screensaver, but come on, give us something new.
but I guess that sums up Snow Leopard. It wasn't about new, but it seemed to be about fixing and patching issues they felt they had with Leopard.
Yeah, but it's almost like, you know, okay, we'll throw in QuickTime X for you. And you think, okay, well, why not just throw in another couple of bits?
You should go and buy a PC, get Windows 7.
I spit on a PC.
You fanboy. I know a certain...
I have no problems with using PCs. No, just to clarify the matter.
How magnanimous of you.
No, I just enjoy, you know, at home, I just enjoy using Mac a lot more. It's like... Yeah. You know, it's since I moved to Macs, it's almost like I'm always using the computer for a certain purpose and for enjoyment. I don't have to like feel like I'm battling with it anymore. It just works out of the box.
Certainly, I mean, see, I think you did the same. I used to rebuild every 6 months.
Mm.
You know, and it's just such a pain in the nipples. You know, and I just don't have that anymore. I mean, I guess if I compare my annoyances with this, you know, compared to, you know, what I used to have with Windows, it's night and day.
Yeah,
I mean my iMac. I've had my iMac 3 years now, and then with PC, I just feel outdated after a couple of years, and just felt forced to upgrade. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'll wait.
I mean, even now, is there anything that you feel you need?
There's always things I need.
No, but other than the sort of like aesthetic values of the new machines being all aluminium, do you feel like you're missing out anything in terms of like speed?
Not really.
No.
I think, you know, we've obviously talked about where we go with podcasts and we've talked about video and stuff. I think if I thought in the future we were going to do a lot of video editing, then I would maybe consider, you know, what that is. And I guess hardware-wise, maybe just battery life on a laptop. You know, to go and get a MacBook Pro that runs for 7 hours is pretty damn impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, I mean, they're working along, they're tickety-boo. Couple other, I guess it's just pointers. If folk have installed Snow Leopard or are thinking about doing it, one thing that came out today was that the version of Flash that gets installed is actually a slightly older version than the current one, which has got a few vulnerabilities in it. So go to adobe.com and download the latest Flash. Another thing that's worthwhile doing is an application called AppFresh, which I don't know if you use or not.
I have it installed. I rarely use it because I just can't be bothered.
It's very, very handy because it's, especially just now, because so many apps are getting updated. So if you install the latest version of AppFresh, which is free, it scans your computer and then checks online and lets you see what the latest versions are. And you can actually install the update straight from AppFresh now as well. So you don't actually go and then have to fire up other apps. You can just say install update, right click, install update, and it takes care of it. So that's really good for just keeping track of apps that you've got and just making sure you've got the latest versions.
Excellent.
If you want to find out in detail what's changed, Ars Technica And there's a guy called, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, John Siracusa, who does a, he does a massive review each of the operating system releases. We'll put a link in the show notes, but he's got his 23-page Snow Leopard review, which goes into a lot of detail about what's changed underneath. And I guess that's what I've not touched on. The reason I think developers are excited by this is just it's the underlying technologies that have changed. And I think that's why it's so underwhelming for users, and also why so many apps have maybe broken with this release. But that's a review that's actually, it's actually a pretty good read if you're at all interested in Max. And also rumours today that 10.6.1 has been seeded to testers.
All right.
And if you remember with Leopard, I think it was only 2 or 3 weeks after it was released that the first kind of, you know, patch set came out, which tried to plug any holes. So maybe it won't be too long before we get a nice juicy download. One thing I have found as well, that Safari seems to be running faster on Snow Leopard than it is on Leopard as well.
I just couldn't figure out whether it was my imagination or not, but I agree, it does seem a lot quicker.
When I fire it up Safari now compared to Firefox, I stuck with Firefox just because of the bootmark sync.
Mm-hmm.
But I know with Xmarks and Safari it works a treat. Safari's just superb speed wise. I guess the only issue, if it's running 64-bit, there's a whole load of helper apps have failed. So there's a whole, you know, they're wanting to run in 32-bit. So again, right click on the Safari app, select 32-bit, and I think most of those apps will then work. I think there's still a couple with issues. But yeah, that's really it. I guess it's a bit all underwhelming, but promises some hopeful good updates in the future from applications.
Indeedy.
Is that us?
That's got to be our shortest podcast ever, I think.
It's a brief. How long was that? Half an hour?
Roughly half an hour.
Oh, no, it's not. It's 37 minutes. It's probably... it's the longest on one topic.
Well, at least it'll keep Tam happy, yeah?
Yeah, I think Tam's bought an Apple. Do you know that?
I think so, yeah.
Those sneaky little tweets asking about apps that have been updated, and I was just like, you dirty dog.
Well, the other day I was playing Who's Got the Biggest Brain, and it put something on Facebook automatically, and Tam puts a comment up saying, shouldn't you be like testing Snow Leopard for me or something? Desperate man.
Yeah, I think we should take him to an Apple store one day.
Anyway,
that's us. We need to do our feedback bits, don't we? So I always forget these things now. If you want to find out more, you can visit our website, which is www.digitaloutbox.com. We'd love to hear any feedback, info@digitaloutbox.com, and we are on Twitter. And our unused account is Digital Outbox.
Shaq. We are also on Facebook as well.
Oh, no, it's Facebook.
I want more people on our Facebook account.
But we only have 3 people that listen. Well, we've got 4. Well, we've got 4 this week, because Chris will be sitting there thinking, thank God I wasn't in that one.
Well, can those 4 people please follow us on Facebook as well? Please.
You're getting desperate in your old age.
Aren't we all?
So where's your blog? Go on.
My blog is practically dead at the moment, if you are interested, it's shaquilenaim.com. How about you?
ind.net.
Brilliant.
What about you on Twitter? I want to know more about Big Brother 10, so where can I find out your Twitter account news?
My Twitter name is ShaqN, so you can read all my rants about Big Brother and B and Lisa. And Nano David as well.
Have you heard the news about tomorrow night then? Because it's the final.
No, don't tell me, because I didn't watch it last night. I was doing some other stuff.
This isn't a secret. But similarly, the people in the Big Brother house are going to be Twittering tomorrow night.
Ah, okay.
Maybe you can talk to them.
Maybe I will.
Oh, that would be funny. You were even voting this week, weren't you?
I was, first time ever.
You sad, sad man.
I voted to get Lisa out. She was getting on my nipples.
I just hope you voted in the last general election.
I
hope you're not. I can tell by your face, you dirty dog. You've turned into one of these worksite communists going to sit at home and just kind of watch Big Brother all day and not vote at all. Hello to all the worksite communists that listen to our podcast, by the way.
Anyway, I think we're rambling on now.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to make sure it's not the shortest ever. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Ta-da.
Ta-da. Nanu, nanu.